This morning on The Long View, we consider our radicalized republic. Our political analyst, Neil Milner, isn't about to sugarcoat life in our United States these days. Good morning, Neil.
Hi. How are you doing, Catherine?
Good. But, you know, I have to say, you know, after watching that siege unfold at the Capitol on January 6th, my heart really needed to hear about Kumbaya.
Well, unfortunately, you're not going to hear it from me because it's a misleading way to understand what's going on right now, and I think a deceptive way, a self-deceptive way to do so. The good research, and this is reported in this article called The Radicalized Republic, which is in 538.com, really summarizes what people who've paid attention for a long time and have not just dealt with their hopes and dreams, but with real facts have shown, and that is that whatever you think of the confidence of Joe Biden, this problem is much greater than Joe Biden, and that it's not going to go away very soon, that the country is made up of people who hate one another, it's made up of people with very different views of democracy, and it's made up with polarization and resentment that is so great that there really isn't a good way right now to understand what you can do about it. So that's essentially what the point is that I wanted to get across, that this is not about something that's been, you know, that's temporary and that a president can heal on the basis of fixing. This is arguably at least 40 years old that it's developing, in some cases much longer than that, but at least 40 years old, and it deals with a set of processes and a set of characteristics that aren't going to go away. And we can talk about what the specific problems are if, you know, if you want to do that right now, we can do that.
Well, you know, I'm just, you know, thinking of just basic civility, you know, when you have these differences.
Sure.
And it's out the window.
Is actually off the table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's off the table for a couple of reasons. Not that it's a bad idea, but it's a process by which we simply can't get to on the basis of anything short term. There are little things you can do. The reason is because, first of all, people talk about the other side. People on one side, that is Democrats, hate Republicans and think they're evil, and Republicans think the same thing of Democrats. You find language that has become dehumanizing language that's become characteristic. And it doesn't take, this is not about nutcases or fringe people. Ask your friends what they think about Republicans, let's say. The word hate will come up. And so you have that kind of thing. You have the total dominance of politics, especially partisanship, that it's now much more difficult to interact with someone of a different party, to even live with someone near someone with a different party. And all of these kinds of disagreements are really quite basic. And they on almost every issue there now is social issues, political issues, there are strong partisan differences that stick around. And one of the big ones is on racial resentment. That what you have now is something that's in some ways similar to what you had for many years, but has changed in a dramatic sort of way. And that is something called white resentment. Look, white resentment is part of our history. But white resentment itself hasn't increased since the 1980s. What it's done, though, is become a much more partisan and encompassing issue. That is, it's sorted itself out so that Republicans are much more likely to have a kind of sense of white resentment and a worry about minorities and immigrants getting too much than Democrats do. It's become another one of those polarizing issues. And it's become to a point, and I've discovered this in my own writing, if you talk about white resentment, Republicans are much more likely to say it doesn't exist, end of story, you're just causing trouble. So you're at a point at which things that are very much on people's minds, like Black Lives Matter, for example, take on a very different kind of thing, and related to partisanship. And again, it isn't that we just disagree. We dehumanize the opposition. And when you dehumanize opponents, you're encouraging a kind of violence. And that may explain what Lillian Mason's research, which people weren't paying much attention to but are paying more attention to now, about the willingness of people to use violence in this, you know, in our country. She found, this is before, before the insurrection, about 21% of people are saying they could see using political violence in this country. The percentage of Democrats and Republicans who say this are about the same. Republicans have been slightly more willing to say it, and there certainly has been much more actual violence by right-wing extremism. So I guess what I'm saying is, what's there to be optimistic about? You can have hopes, you can have what you want, but you have to face the fact that that's the position that the country is in, and you can see how it's playing out within the Republican Party, even if you want to get a good idea.
Yes, I mean, all we have to do is just look in our backyard. You know, the head of the Republican Party stepped down. There were issues. There's been division for a long time. And, you know, it's like, what's going to happen to this party going forward?
Well, I that's an interesting question. I mean, first of all, the party is essentially Trump's party as of this moment. All the impetus, all the grassroots passion, and that includes in this state, is for people who are very loyal to Trump, who think that the Democrats stole the election. And remember, three-quarters of the Republicans, Republican voters think that that's the case. So you have that. You have a recent survey that looked at, Trump has talked about starting a party called the Patriots Party. If you look at the initial surveys on this, about as many Republicans are willing to vote that way as they are voting Republican. Now, that's very early on. But what you really have right now is an enormous amount of grassroots passion, grassroots, you know, state and local Republican groups that are still very loyal to Trump, certainly believe in what he says, are not necessarily QAnon ones, although it's more likely that a Republican person is sympathetic to QAnon than a Democrat. And that's so that you're not anywhere, so that there is nothing here that would suggest that there would be a movement toward a reasonable center. And all of the media's attention to the anti-Trump Republicans in Congress and so on is essentially overblown, because those people don't have much leverage. And that's so that the fact that there are moderates, the fact that they're working toward a bipartisan solution on the COVID relief bill, which is going to be a tough one, for the fact that they're working toward it and maybe even get it, doesn't get around this fundamental kind of difference in society right now.
Well, you know, you talked earlier about the violence and the, you know, between the Democrats and the Republicans and how they're verbalizing it. They may have thought it before, but now they're, you know, it's out there in the open. But it is pretty horrifying when you see Republicans saying, okay, yeah, you know, let's go after the vice president, you know, threatening the Republicans. And yet you see a lot of Republicans then stepping back from the party. So that's a little creepy.
Yeah, I don't see many Republicans stepping back from the party right now, because essentially there isn't any kind of reason. I think the ones, you know, we have to be careful. All Republicans didn't go after the vice president, and all Republicans don't have those ideas that Congressman Green does about there wasn't any Parkland shooting and so on. But clearly the impetus right now is still strongly toward difference rather than toward moderation. We've sorted ourselves out over at least a 40-year period. We've sorted ourselves by party. It's reinforced by the hate that we have for the other, or for the respective other sides. That's not going to go away in response to how the Republicans are. It's a little odd to think of Hawaii's Republicans that way.
Right.
But in fact, whatever else is clear, they are a Trump party right now.
Right. Okay. Well, so much for Kumbaya, and thanks for the cold water.
Yeah. It's a gray, rainy day, and that's what I have to tell you.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, Neil.
Sure. Bye.
We've been talking with Neil Milner, retired professor of political science and contributing editor of our segment, The Long View.